Hello again. It's good to come into your family circle with this program of Bible Truth today. And we are bringing the final lesson of the Bible Picture of Christianity. And we're going to try to answer the question in the quarter hour that's before us, what is yet to come? Before we get into the answer to that question, let's go to our Heavenly Father in a word of prayer. If you care to join us and can, feel free to do so. Let us pray. Our Father, we come into thy sanctified presence at this time with glad hearts that you spared our lives to this present moment. And as we come to you in prayer, Father, we recognize you as the true Father of those who are in Christ Jesus. We're glad to be a part of thy glorious kingdom, a part of thy church, a part of the great family of God. We know this family is named in heaven and earth. It's greater than a local family. It's greater than a universal family. It is a family that goes far beyond the transitory scenes of this life. We're thankful, Father, for thy word, for those who make this broadcast possible, and as it is sounded out into the homes and hearts of those who listen, we trust those who are away from the Lord will turn to thee in complete obedience. We pray for the sick, we pray for those who mourn the loss of loved ones, and we pray for our nation and nations of the world. And so often, Father, as we call upon you, we trust that men will be aware of the fact that you still rule in the affairs of men. Help us now in this proclamation, Father. We're glad for this series, for those who have made it possible, and we know that thy word will not return to thee void. Help us on through life. This we humbly ask in Jesus' name, and amen. Well, what is yet to come? And I want to go to the 16th chapter of Matthew, where we're talking about something that was going to happen, and we can see how it did happen when we look at the Scripture. Christ polled his apostles in this chapter. He came out of the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and first he said to them, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" As you probably know this accounting very well, some of them have said, well, the people recognize you to be John the Baptist, and that was one of the statements that was made. Some Elias, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Then he said, "But whom say ye that I am?" Then a fundamental fact of the entire Bible that's found in Matthew 16:16 is offered by Simon Peter. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood, or of human origin, hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." So Christ, being the Son of God, is truth. It came by revelation from heaven. But now notice what he says in verses 18 and 19 that's paramount in our lesson today. "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." The point I want to make that when Jesus was talking about the foundation for the church, he also referred to it as the kingdom. So as a student of the Bible, you will note as you go along that there seems to be a very close connection between the church and the kingdom. We told you in one of the past broadcasts that if you remember that Christ is the head of the church, which is his body, according to Ephesians 1:22 and 23, as well as Colossians 1 and 18, you'll also find that he is the king of the kingdom. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter brought that sermon to its climax in Acts 2, he said, "The same Jesus that you have crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ." When you put Lord and Christ together, it truly indicates that here is an anointed ruler, an anointed king. So I am led to believe by this teaching that when Christ got back to heaven, that it was God who anointed him as a true King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, he was also head of the church. So we're saying this in answer to the question, what is yet to come? Let's look at the church. And let's look at the kingdom. Some time ago, I was in a community where a good sister posed a question over the dinner table. She said, "Really, what do you think is ahead for the church?" And I said, "You also mean what is ahead for the kingdom?" "Oh, yes," she said, "I understand that they follow the same course." Well, I said, "All you have to do is simply look at your Bible. You don't have to doubt what's ahead for the church or the kingdom." The 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians is the resurrection chapter. And it's one that deals in a very thought-provoking way with things that are going to transpire, things that are going to come to pass. I want to take just a moment here to go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, And have you note with me that there are a number of things here that are mentioned here by Paul under influence of the Holy Spirit. For instance, in verse 24 of the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians 15:24, then cometh the end, when he, referring to Christ, shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So I would understand Christ as the King of the kingdom and the head of the church is going to reign until it is time for him to come again. Now, according to the 4th chapter of 1 Thessalonians, he's not literally going to come back to this earth and set up a kingdom on this earth, as many people think. We're not challenging their honesty, but we're truly offering what the Word of God teaches. I don't know of a scripture that really says he's literally going to come back to this earth and set up his kingdom. His kingdom was set up in the first century. People at Colossae were delivered from the power and darkness of sin, and they were translated into that kingdom. The Corinthians were in the kingdom. He says the end is going to come, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. He's going to deliver it up to God before he comes, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. You know, the interesting thing about this is when you look at this from the standpoint of the kingdom, you find that that kingdom is never going to end. And that shouldn't be surprising, because you recall that the Apostle Peter, in a very definite fashion, talked about that kingdom even in connection with heaven. Now, we'll get to that in a few minutes. But first of all, think of where the kingdom was prophesied in the Old Testament. Now, there are a lot of places you could go to. You could go to Isaiah, several places. You go to Daniel. I'd like to key in on Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. Where it mentions in the days of the kings that were in that image or kingdoms, they were earthly kingdoms, the Lord was going to set up a kingdom which should never be destroyed. It wasn't going to be left to other people. It wasn't going to be destroyed, and I believe that is true. It's still in existence today. People are still being delivered from the power of darkness. They are being translated into the kingdom. We cited that reference on the other broadcast in the second chapter of Acts, where Peter, in bringing that sermon to its climax, said, "The same Jesus that you have crucified, God hath made both Lord and Christ. He was already an anointed king. Stephen said he saw the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. He was in a position of authority." Now, the point that I'm emphasizing is that this kingdom is going to continue on after it's given up to God. Let's go to the first chapter of 2 Peter. Now, you may be interested in this subject, and you may not agree with the position we're taking here, but we'd like to have you agree with what the Bible teaches. You see, it doesn't really make a great deal of difference whether you agree with me. I'm human. But the point is that God's Word is what's going to judge us. So that's why we're staying with the Bible. We want to do just like Philip did in his preaching to the Ethiopian. We want to begin with the Bible and stay with it. Notice he talks about these Christian virtues that are found here in the first chapter of 2 Peter. Going to verse 4, he mentions we're partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruptions in the world through lust. I understand we'll be free from lust when we are in heaven. But a person is separated from lust and sin when he or she obeys the gospel. They are delivered from that power of darkness. See, it goes right back to the same thing. They're translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Well, then he says in the 5th verse of 2 Peter 1 and 5, "And besides this, giving all diligence or accuracy, give concern, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." Now listen. "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now these are people who have been delivered from the power of darkness. They've been translated into the kingdom. They're a part of the kingdom here upon earth. Christ is in heaven. His subjects in the kingdom here upon earth are very definitely a part of his church. Verse 9 says, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." He's talking about people who actually obeyed the gospel and then went back into the world. But now listen to verses 10 and 11. "Wherefore the rather, brethren, Give diligence, there it is again, to make your calling election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance, listen to verse 11, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, these people were already in the kingdom, but when he talks about an entrance is ministered unto you in the kingdom, he's talking about heaven. So 15th chapter 1 Corinthians mentions when Christ is going to come, he's going to deliver up that kingdom to his Father. The Father is going to have a kingdom that he said would never be destroyed. It's everlasting. It's going to even be in existence when we get to heaven. So what is yet to come? You know, the world that seems to have a lot of strength, it's going to fade away. There's not going to be any place found for men as they stand before God at judgment. But the kingdom is going to be in existence. It's going to be delivered up to the Father. It will not fail. So whatever happens in this world, these things are temporal. These things are transitory. They're only temporary. But what we're talking about on the broadcast today is eternal. We're going to leave this series with you. If you have questions, feel free to send them in. I want to thank the members of the Church of Christ, including their leadership, that has brought you this broadcast on this station. We probably know a number of these brethren personally. We make these tapes, and they're sent out from a local congregation, and we're glad to have an opportunity to be a part of this broadcast and this work. Keep in mind that we'll have another series beginning next week, the Lord willing. Be with us if you can. Tell a friend and neighbor about this broadcast, and listen for time of services of the congregation that brings you this broadcast in your area. Plan to be there with your Bible and your entire family. See us next time. May God bless us all as we serve him and as we are a part of his glorious kingdom.